I just wanted to mention to you before we pray and look at Scripture, because I know that some of you have never met Pastor Salek, and so that video wouldn't have meant a whole lot to you, but I just want to say this about that. We have a partnership with Pastor Salek in Pakistan, and those long lines of people lined up were lined up to be baptized. Hallelujah. And so we showed that today for two reasons. One, he just sent it to us. And two, we are going to baptize people today, so we thought it fit very appropriately. Pastor Salek will be here, as Pastor Charles said, in about a month. And when he is here, he won't speak like that. He will speak in English. So if you've never met him, you will be able to understand him. And we will have a picnic that day. That's in your bulletin. So I just wanted you to know that if you've never met him, that's why we showed that. We have that connection there to Pakistan, and that brother will be with us in a month. Let's pray together. Gracious and eternal God, thank you for your goodness and grace. Thank you for this day. This is your day. We come together because of you. We are here to worship you. And yes, we are here to celebrate. We're welcoming some new members today, and we're going to have a wonderful time down at the river in just a little while, baptizing those that have said, I want Jesus to be Lord of my life. And so we're going to celebrate all of this, but we are here, Father, because of you and to worship you. And we thank you today, oh God. You have been so good to us. And yes, I know when we look at the prayer list, and we consider the hearts and hurts of even those that are sitting here today, there are difficulties. But we have come today, Father, laying all of that at the cross, committing it to you, and asking for your presence here this morning, and your will to be done here today, and you, O God, to be glorified above all else. And so thank you for this day. I do pray for the churches in our communities. I do pray that you would guide them, guide us by your Spirit. I do pray, Heavenly Father, that your name and the name of Jesus would be lifted high in gatherings everywhere today, and that you, O God, would be glorified in all that we say and do. Thank you for each person here today. We pray for those that couldn't be. You know the reasons. Sickness, difficulties of all types. We lift them up to you and ask, Father, for divine intervention, healing, strength, salvation, forgiveness, whatever application needs to be applied. We pray for them, and I pray for everyone here. Bless and keep them, Father. Touch them, redeem. We sung about redemption. Father, I pray that if we haven't experienced justification through that new spiritual birth, that we would be redeemed, and maybe even today. And if we're redeemed even today, or have been in the last few days, that we too might join in the baptism today to show others, I have been redeemed. I have put my faith in Jesus. And so I pray, Father, you would speak to hearts today. And if someone that I don't even know about wants to join us at the river and be baptized because they have put their faith in you, we will welcome them too. As you welcome us in your grace, we will welcome them too. Guide and direct us now as we look at this topic called baptism. We pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to say this before I forget. There is potluck lunch later. If you didn't happen to know that and didn't bring anything, that's okay. Please join us anyway. That's immediately after this is over. And then we will go to the river, as Charles said, and have our baptism service. But I also want to say that I and Charles and a couple of others, once we have sung our last song and said our last prayer, am going to invite some, I have been contacted already, that need and want to be prayed over. So while you masses are going to lunch, I'm going to be here in front with a couple of other folks, and we will pray for those that want to be prayed for. I know that there are some here that want that. So we will do that to close in case I forget that later. We will pray for you that want to be prayed for. But lunch will be served for you as soon as we're done with this service. Now, as I said to you already, and some of you, and I said earlier, this is a very special day for me and for us as we celebrate people going to be baptized. I know of a good dozen, not hundreds like you saw in the film, from Pakistan, but I know of a good dozen, and perhaps there are people that are going to be baptized yet because they have put their faith in Christ, and I'm not even aware of that yet, but they will join us. And so it's special to me always to celebrate these baptisms with you and to go to the river and baptize. And so the reason I'm sharing what I'm sharing today from Scripture, mainly from, well, all from Acts, is because I want us to get this picture of baptism. And I hope that in 15 minutes or so when I'm done, 18 minutes, we have a clearer picture and understanding of what is baptism, what it isn't, and why we do what we do. And so I'm going to share with us several scriptures from Acts. I'm going to show that in these illustrations from Scripture, there will be Jews that will be baptized. There will be Gentiles that will be baptized. There will be Samaritans that will be baptized. There will be Pharisees that will be baptized. All of them baptized after they put their faith in Jesus, the Son of God. I'm going to show us that from Scripture today because I think it's important we understand what they did in the New Testament and why we do what we do. So if you've got your Bible, I'm in Acts. I'm going to start at chapter 2, and I'm going to read for you, as I said, several illustrations. I'm also going to include in today's sharing some personal testimonies of people that have either become new members today and or will be baptized. And I share those with us today because I think it's important for us to celebrate what God is doing in people's lives. Amen? Just like they were celebrating, it's important for us to celebrate too what God is doing in people's lives. Acts chapter 2. The first illustration I'm going to give you is from Peter's first sermon. Most of you know this already. The Holy Spirit of God has been poured out. We call this Pentecost. Peter is filled with the Holy Spirit. He gives this long sermon to thousands of people. And he gets down to verse 36 and he says, concludes his sermon with this, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, who you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Okay, he makes that final proclamation. And every piece of Scripture I'm going to show you today about every illustration of baptism revolves around faith in Jesus. And so he makes this proclamation at the end about who Jesus is and how they had crucified him, but he is the Lord, he is the Christ. The Bible says, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" In other words, you've preached to us, you've convicted us, we hear you, how shall we respond? And Peter said to them, this is verse 38, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit." And then in verse 41, same conversation, "Then those who gladly received his word," that's the teaching about Jesus, "were baptized." These are Jewish people in this crowd. Come to the feast. They're there for the Pentecost celebration. And so these are Jewish people that come to faith in Christ. Then the Bible says those who gladly received his word were baptized, And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Hallelujah. Now, most of you that were here last week know that I was talking about being born again. And Jesus was speaking to the religious man called Nicodemus. And he told him, unless he's born again, he will never see the kingdom of heaven. And I explained to us that being born again is about faith. And I also explained to us that part of the faith equation is repentance and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and receiving him. And so Peter is simply saying to this multitude of Jewish people, it starts with repentance. And they repented, they received his word, they trusted in Christ and were baptized that day. Next illustration comes from Acts chapter 8. This illustration now is about Samaritans. Most of you know that those are Jewish people, half or partially Jew, and the Jewish people basically, as a nation, despised them. But here's what happened. In Acts chapter 8, there were believers in Christ going from here to there, telling the good news about Jesus, and Philip was one of those. Acts 8, beginning at 4, says, therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. That is, believers in Jesus had gone different places preaching the word about Jesus. And then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and he preached Christ to them. And the multitudes, with one accord, heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. Verse 12 of that same chapter, but when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Same thing, different crowd. It was Jews before. This is Samaritan people. Believers had gone to them and told them the good news about Christ. Miracles happened, and they received Christ, and the Bible says men and women were baptized that day. Also in Acts chapter 8, we have a illustration of Gentiles being baptized. We've already seen Jews, we've seen Samaritans, and here also in Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 26, there's another story about Philip again. The angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, go, arise and go towards the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So Philip arose, he went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasuries, had come to Jerusalem to worship. And so during this festival, there were more than Jews in the crowd. There were also Gentiles. They had to stay in their proper place, according to Jewish law. But there were other people there in worship. Now, let me just say this about that. Even though this Ethiopian eunuch would have come to Jerusalem to worship, he knew he had some knowledge about God, just like Nicodemus had some knowledge about God. Last week, Jesus told him, Nicodemus, you're missing one part, and that is you must be born of God. That is, you must put your faith in the Son of God. And so there was many people worshiping there that were still not born of God because they hadn't had that explained to them. This is one of those men. And so having had been in Jerusalem to worship, he was returning back to Ethiopia. The Bible says he was sitting in his chariot and he was reading Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go and overtake the chariot. So Philip ran up to him. He heard him reading out of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. And Philip asked him, do you understand what you're reading? And he answered Philip and said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up in the chariot and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this from Isaiah. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And so the eunuch was reading that, didn't understand it, and he answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or somebody else, some other man? Then Philip, the Bible says, opened his mouth, and beginning at this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. This actually is scripture about Jesus, and Philip simply enlightened him to the Christ. And as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Verse 37, then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And so he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. I have one more illustration, but I want to say this. You see the progression here. In all of these examples in Acts, and there are others, people arrived at this point of baptism when they had recognized who is the Christ, and they did something about that. We are going to baptize people, young and not as young, alike, down here today. These are all people who have recognized a need of repentance and believing and receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're going to do this to show those of you that will come and join us, they have put their faith in Jesus. In this context, these people all were baptized in response to putting their faith in Christ. Remember the Great Commission of Jesus from Matthew 28, 19 and 20, when Jesus commissioned the disciples, and in essence, the church today, when he said, go and make disciples. In other words, tell them about Jesus. Go and make disciples. And that's what these guys were doing here, whether it's the Philips or the Peters, they were telling them about Christ. And then he said, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And so they're being baptized in response to the command of Jesus, the commissioning of Jesus, and they're being baptized to show the rest of the people, I have put my faith in Christ, and I am going to be baptized. It is an external example or display of an inward decision. Does that make sense, brothers and sisters? To be baptized is simply an external display as we bring you into the water and up. It's an external display to you of an inward decision. I have one more illustration. This happens to be a Pharisee. I think you know the story of Saul of Tarsus, who was actually persecuting and putting in prison and even killing some followers of Jesus. You know the story how he encountered Christ on the road to Damascus. The voice from heaven, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Saul is down on the ground by now, blinded by the brightness of the light. And he says, who are you, Lord? The response is, I am Jesus, who you are persecuting. And so in that exchange, Paul is meeting Christ. He's then blind. He's led to Damascus. He spends 3 days blind and fasting, communicating and fellowshipping with Jesus, who now he believes in, by the way, because he just met him face to face. And here's where we pick up the story. He was a Pharisee, remember. Verse 17, Acts chapter 9. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, that's Saul, he said, Brother Saul, The Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight, and at once he rose and was baptized. So you see, Jews had to be baptized or were baptized, Gentiles were baptized, Samaritans were baptized, Pharisees were baptized, all in response to what they did with Jesus. All of them post. They were all baptized after they had come to faith in the Son of God. I give you all these biblical illustrations just to help us understand protocol as to why we do what we do. We will baptize people that have all have said, I have surrendered my life to Christ, just like they did here. Baptism, as I said before, was simply a sign showing to the others, I have come to faith in Jesus Christ. Let me say very briefly before I share with you three or four testimonies. I want us to be clear about this because I get asked this from time to time. Does water in the baptism equation save? And the answer is no. It's not the water in the river or the pail if we happen to be pouring somebody or the cup if we're or we're sprinkling. It's not the water. Regardless if I'm young, middle-aged, or old, it's not the water that saves. The Bible is crystal clear. It's the grace of God that saves through our faith in the Son of God for what He has done. The Bible is crystal clear in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith. I talked about that faith equation last week, born again. Repent, believe, receive, faith in Christ. That's how we're saved. Water baptism is simply an indicator that we have arrived at that salvation point. It is not the water. I want us to be clear about that because I don't want us to put our faith in something that doesn't save. Water won't save you. Faith in Jesus will. Hallelujah. Water is a display of we have got there to that point. And so that's why we baptize today. Let me just say this, and I'm going to close with some testimonies. Do you have to be baptized to get to heaven? Well, the thief on the cross wasn't. And there again, water isn't the saving point. You know the story about the thief and the cough, right, brothers and sisters? The thief on the cross didn't have time to get baptized, and Jesus assured him, today you'll be with me in paradise. So we have that wrestling match sometime. Does water save? Do I have to be baptized to get to heaven? The thief on the cross was not. His circumstances didn't allow for baptism. But all these other illustrations, they were baptized because they wanted to show people, I have come to faith in Christ, and here is the display. We call it water baptism. Amen? Now, let me just say this. One of the things that we require of people coming into membership and or being baptized is to help us understand your conversion experience. We call them testimonies. When people put their faith in Christ, that is a prerequisite to be a member here. We want people to know Jesus Christ. That's way more important than your name on a membership roll. Amen? We want people to recognize that it's not the water that saves, it's our faith in Jesus Christ that does, and water is a display. And so we ask people to write out their experience. And rather than have all of them share today, whether it's up here for membership or down there for baptism, I just want to pick three or four here to share with you a sampling of some of those stories. And then I'm going to invite, we had most of those that are that are joining our membership today. We had most of them at the earlier service, but anybody that are here this morning, I will call you up in just a minute after I read a couple of these testimonies. Here's one. I came from a, well, I'll just say different denomination family. With that other denomination education, by the time I was 14, rebellion was the order of the day. A man I worked with gave me a book that had the salvation message in it. I prayed for forgiveness. At about 22, things went well for a while. My wife and I began to attend church. I saw some of the same hypocrisy that I rebelled against before. In 1987, at a revival meeting, I didn't want to go. God called me again, and I was on a roller coaster for several years. Then in 1995, I went to a Promise Keepers event. At this event, I was born again. Still struggles, but no more drought. Finally, victory over sin that had me bound. God has been patient and kind. I am a follower of Jesus, and I thank Him every day for His mercy. Hallelujah! That's one sample of the testimonies that are being either brought into membership today or baptized. A couple of more before I close. This person writes, I was baptized at a church in Motley, and I was attending confirmation classes at the age of 12. My family also attended this church, that church that he lists, not the Free Methodist Church, but another one, through my youth years. From this beginning, I have always had a faith in our Heavenly Father. Attending the Motley Free Methodist Church has been a blessing. I realize how much I have to grow yet in my faith. I have listened to Pastor Jim talk about being born again. I always felt that I was right with God, but questioned if I was after listening to the scriptures from Pastor Jim. I have prayed and prayed about this. Then on April 29th, I was driving to a job and thinking about my prayers and my questioning and if I needed to be born again and if I had grown up with my faith and there was nothing more to question. And while I'm driving and praying, I felt a warm, relaxing movement around my shoulders and chest, a very wonderful and calming feeling. My prayers had been answered. God is good, there is no doubt. I will always feel the need to question myself. Could I be a better Christian? Am I doing the will of God? Am I doing what God asks? Then questions, these questions will be answered in prayers. Hallelujah. And one more. I have several more, but I'm only going to read one more for time's sake. At home, I was busy with four young daughters. I was taking care of them and kind of watching a Christian show on TV when I heard the minister's prayer. Oh God, my heart is open to you. Come, sit in my heart. I wrote these words down on a post-it note and I put that in my address book. I did pray that at many different times over and over. Then on a drive home early in September of 2000, having a long conversation with our Lord, I crossed the bridge in Motley, right out here. I pulled over next to the river, down where we're going, and I asked God and Jesus to come into my life, to be my Lord and to be my Savior. I asked them, please forgive me of my sin. I know there are many. I thank God for His grace and for sending His Son Jesus to die on the cross for me. So by faith, I surrendered my life to Christ. And after my prayer and after my tears, I felt Jesus by my side, and this overwhelming peace and love came over me, a love that is so deep, bright, warm, and strong. I felt that in my heart and on that September day down by the river. I still have that same post-it note in my address book. I have been blessed by God. Hallelujah. And so these are just some of the sampling of testimonies of people that have come to be part of our membership today and or have come to be baptized. And so to close this service, we did this at the earlier service, and I want to do it again now. I want to read to you the 12 names of people that have been through the process and approved by the board for membership. And most of them were at the first service, but if you're here the second service, I want to invite you forward. And I'll read them by alphabetical order. If you're here, please come forward. Sandy Barnett, Galen Berg, Jim and Patsy Brennan, Harry and Phyllis Brown, Sean Lighty, Scott and Susie Nundahl, Brenda Romig, Kevin and Melaine Swecker. If I've read your name, come forward. If you're here, we want to receive you into membership. Now let me say this, friends. It isn't becoming a member of the church that gets you to heaven either. They know that. Becoming a member of the church is simply a sense of belonging to this congregation and a sense of commitment to the Lord in being part of the family. And so, into this holy fellowship, the persons before you who have received or will today the sacrament of baptism, who have learned the nature of these privileges and duties, who have been instructed in the teachings and mission of the Free Methodist Church, and who have been approved by the local board of administration, come to be welcomed into membership. We now propose, in the fear of God, to question them as to their faith and purpose, that you may know that they are ready to be admitted into this church. So I'm simply going to ask you these questions. The answer is really simple. It is provided. And so all you have to do is answer the question that I ask of you. So I will ask each of you for your response as I read the question. First and foremost, do you have assurance that God has forgiven your sins through faith in Jesus Christ?
I do.
And do you believe the Bible is God's written word, uniquely inspired by the Holy Spirit, and do you accept its authority for what you must believe and how you must live?
I do.
And do you here resolve by God's grace to be Christ-like in heart and life, opening yourself fully to the cleansing and empowering ministry of the Holy Spirit, the guidance of the Scriptures, and the nurture and fellowship of the church?
By God's enabling grace, I do resolve.
By God's enabling grace, I do resolve.
By God's enabling grace, I do resolve.
And do you accept the articles of religion, the membership covenant, the goals of the Christian conduct, and the government of the Free Methodist Church, and will you endeavor to live in harmony with them? Thank you.
Trusting God's power to aid me, I do.
Thank you.
Trusting God's power to aid me, I do.
Thank you. As a follower of Jesus Christ, will you embrace the mission of the church within and beyond this congregation, and will you join us in giving sacrificially of your time, talent, and resources to help us carry out this mission?
With God's help, I will.
Thank you.
With God's help, I will.
Thank you. Thank you. I offer you the right hand of fellowship. God bless you, brother and sister and brother. Lord bless you all. Let's receive them by giving them a hand into our fellowship. Welcome and God bless you all. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, as we leave this place and venture into our mission field, as we gather around the table in fellowship and meal, as we go to the river to celebrate the newfound joy of this sacrament of baptism, may we remember, as we have sung, that every facet of our life, our voice, our hands, our will, all the resources and material possessions you have allowed us to have, they would be consecrated to you in holiness of life, in mission, that our gifts and talents would be used to further your kingdom, to give you glory, and to introduce others into the love that you have for us, that they too can call upon the name of the Lord in faith and be saved. Go with us now, Father. Bless the food and the hands that have prepared, that we would be in fellowship with you together this day and forever. In Jesus' name, amen.